Please need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Hello and welcome to show 2003, the January 15th, 2020 episode of Non-Human Radio, a roundup of current news on animal issues, focusing on animal agriculture, animal rights, and veganism. I'm your host, Jeannie Trezino, and I'm here every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. You can listen to streaming and archive shows at kzfr.org. On today's show, we'll be covering a few news stories, leading with a story on the poor oversight of tragic barn fires, followed by a piece on a different interpretation of the changes we are seeing in the dairy industry, and a vegan company that offers a hand up, not a hand out, to struggling farmers, doing what farmers should be doing, growing food to feed people, not to feed animals. We'll end with a little fluff piece from the world of entertainment as award shows start to offer plant-based vegan meals at their glitzy events. We'll end with the Chico Vegan Calendar of Events. Our first news piece is an article from the animal advocacy website Sentient Media, an animal website on the focuses on the numbers of animals that die in barn fires on farms in the United States. Barn fires are, of course, tragic events, and I share the story to let my listeners know that there is very little protection designed into the structures that most food animals are raised in, contrary to what you might have thought or maybe not thought about at all. The article starts, animal farmers will often say that their farms are like their homes, that their animals are like their family, even like their children. This is especially true as debates continue over animal activists trespassing on farms. However, one unique characteristic of industrialized animal barns, aside from the sheer size and amount of animals and filth, that makes such a statement especially untrue, fire codes. The farmers like to equate barns to their homes when activists come calling. They appear quite content with the designation of these buildings as spaces of, quote, low human occupancy, and their animals as mere property when it comes to implementing and therefore paying for fire suppression and prevention measures. As a result, barn fires are an ongoing problem across North America, with tens of thousands of trapped animals killed by fire each year in Canada, hundreds of thousands each year in the United States. According to a statement released by the Animal Welfare Institute in December of 2019, quote, there are no laws or regulations in the United States designed to protect farm animals from barn fires, end quote. As a result, at least 469,000 animals have been killed in barn fires in the U.S. in 2019, amounting to at least 2 million animals since 2017, according to the statement. These numbers are gathered from media sources only. It is believed that the true total is likely higher, as many of these fires are not necessarily hitting any kind of news outlet. In Canada, over 660,000 animals have been killed in barn fires since 2015. The majority of these fires occur in the province of Ontario, where the Ontario Building Code, barns housing animals as opposed to any other places of business occupied by humans, are not required to have fire detection or suppression systems of any kind. In the eyes of both the industry and the law, animals trapped in barns require no more protection from fire than do tractors or hay, demonstrating further how modern animal agriculture objectifies and commodifies sentient beings. Quote, such a massive loss of life that involves extreme suffering would be considered horrific and unacceptable if the victims weren't animals raised for food, said Dina Jones, director of Animal Welfare Institute's Farm Animal Program. She continued, even millions of deaths are of little consequence or concern, however, to an industry that produces animals by the billions and views the life of an individual animal as having virtually no value, end quote. Had these been sheds full of puppies, kittens, or even horses engulfed in flames, public outrage and heartbreak would undoubtedly be immense. But for animals raised for food who are legally considered property and culturally deemed less worthy of concern than pets, the result is often nothing more short than a nothing more than a short media blurb. North American media coverage of barn fires typically position farm owners and or the industry as the victims and measure animal deaths only in financial loss. The obvious torture and suffering of animals is rarely mentioned. An example is provided by Steinbeck Online covering southeastern Manitoba with the headline, Manitoba's Dairy Industry Hurting After Monday Fire. It's the dairy industry that's hurting, right? Not the cows that were and calves that were killed in that fire. While voluntary guidelines are offered to protect farmed animals from fires by groups such as the National Fire Protection Association in the United States and the Canadian Farm Builders Association and even governments, none are mandatory by law. Thus, barn fires continue at epidemic rate and animals with nowhere to run continue to suffer and die in perhaps one of the worst ways imaginable. Of course, there only exists one guaranteed strategy to prevent farmed animals from burning to death, and that's not holding them captive in the first place. And that was an article titled, At Least 2 Million Animals Killed in Barn Fires in the United States Since 2017 by Jessica Scott Reed, published on January 3rd, 2020 by Sentient Media. You're listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. Our second news piece follows up on news that I shared in a previous show about the closing of the Giacomazzi Dairy in Hanford, California. This is an article from the Quartz website titled, Plant-Based Milks Aren't the Reason U.S. Dairies Are Struggling. And I thought this would just be an interesting piece because you can blame vegans for the shutting down of the dairy industry, but this article frames that change outside of vegan activism, outside of plant-based activism. The article starts out, the Giacomazzi family has been in the dairy industry for more than 125 years. Dino Giacomazzi is the fourth generation in his family that works on the Hanford, California farm. But recently, he made national headlines when he announced that he would shutter his long-running dairy operation to shift entirely into almonds. The news made him a vegan hero overnight, a poster boy for the perception that plant-based milks are taking over the cow milk sector. Traditional dairy products are on the decline. That's good news, one headline read. It's also false. The rapid rise of plant-based milk alternatives has been remarkable, especially when set against the backdrop of a U.S. population that's losing its appetite for milk from cows. But while being a dairy farmer is tough, the industry isn't exactly wringing its hands over the ascendance of milk-like beverages made from almonds, oats, peas, bananas, cashews, yeast, and soy. The story behind the struggle of American dairy farms is far more complicated than a handful of nuts. If you believe the tale as Giacomazzi tells it, the story of American dairy is one of an industry that has successfully evolved as a technology advanced and the world grew more connected. People in the U.S. may be consuming less milk per capita now than they were a century ago, but that should not be misread as a decline in the overall dairy sector. The cheese and yogurt industries, for example, are booming. In 1910, the average consumer ate just over 4 pounds of cheese per year. Today, people eat a whopping 40 pounds of cheese per year. That dramatic rise in consumption was enabled by technology, refrigeration, perhaps more than anything else. By allowing milk to be shipped further distances, refrigeration shifted dairy farms away from being purely local businesses. Operations got bigger, some consolidated, and they were able to serve growing cities. When manufacturing came into play and cheese and butter became common in dairy markets, dairy became more of a regional industry, and over time it became a national thing. And then it became international, thanks to global economies stitching themselves together and rising demand in places like China. In California alone, about $1.6 billion in dairy is exported each year. That's close to 30% of what the state produces. Globalization, though, presented its own set of problems. Giacomazzi told Quartz that, quote, now that we're a global industry, we're subject to global price constraints. We have to compete with Europe, which has been subsidizing dairy for generations, end quote. In 2014, the European Union created the greatest glut of dairy in history when it lifted supply restrictions on its farmers. That coincided with Russia invading and taking over the Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine, which triggered tit-for-tat sanctions between the European Union and Russia. Until those sanctions, the EU had been exporting about a third of its butter and cheese to Russia. All that product had to go somewhere, and that rattled global supply and demand. As Giacomazzi puts it, though, this disrupted the usual cycles of supply and demand, which rely on stability. All dairy farmers can do is to try to produce milk at a lower and lower cost, and all you can do is scale up. The industry, therefore, has been consolidating rapidly. Giacomazzi acknowledges that the dairy industry, specifically milk, has hit some domestic roadblocks, but he doesn't attribute it to plant-based alternatives. According to data collected by the Good Food Institute, which advocates for plant-based and cell-cultured foods, plant-based milk sales retail hover about $1.8 billion, while U.S. sales of milk from cows is at about $16 billion. That is quite a difference, right? So about $2 billion in plant-based milks and $16 billion in dairy milk. Milk has actually lost more of its share to bottled water than to plant alternatives. A closer look at milk consumption shows that a lot of cow milk varieties have stayed mostly stable. That means varieties, meaning 2% skim milk, etc. It's the fall of whole milk that has dragged down sales in the overall category. A final explanation for the milk drop-off is that people aren't having breakfast anymore. According to Giacomazzi, the raisin industry and the cereal industry are having trouble surviving because nobody sits down and eats breakfast. And that was from an article titled Plant-Based Milks Aren't the Reason U.S. Dairies Are Struggling, published on December 21st, 2019 on the Quartz.com website. I just think that was a fascinating story. We can look as vegan advocates how much we encourage people to switch to non-dairy milks, and that's a very good thing. It's a compassionate thing to do, but our individual actions are very, very individual and very, very minor in comparison to these global economics that affect these industries that affect millions of animals. Our next news piece is an excerpt from an interview with Miyoko Shinner, founder of Miyoko's Vegan Cheese Company, directly in competition with dairy cheese. That interview is conducted by Samantha Skenazi from a group called Food Tank, which is a think tank that focuses on food issues overall. The article begins, Miyoko Shinner's company mission is to revolutionize dairy by creating a new economy based on plants instead of other animals. Shinner says that, quote, we want to help American farmers by going to ones who are struggling. The average dairy farmer makes about $30,000 a year, end quote. Almost 3,000 dairy farms closed down in 2018 alone, and 42,000 dairy farms have gone out of business since 2000. Right, so referring back to the previous article where we're talking about it's not vegans that are reducing the amount of cow milk that is being consumed, it's these overall economic shifts. What we're also seeing is this consolidation, right? The Giacomazzi farm is a small farm. The cows that he owned are not likely going directly to slaughter. They are going to be consolidated into another dairy. And so Miyoko is looking at this dairy industry and saying that this industry is consolidating. It is putting small farmers out of business. It is literally putting small farmers out of business. And she's saying, small farmers, take a look. Your lifeline out of this inescapable cycle down the drain, competition to the bottom, if you're looking at low prices, is look at the plant-based industry. So Miyoko's company would like to partner with some of those struggling dairy farmers and help them transition to becoming the supply chain for her company, growing crops such as potatoes. Her company needs a very specific potato with a certain starch profile, and they need farmers to grow those potatoes. Her company plans to help these farmers transition to a new livelihood and ensure their livelihood because they would be a supply chain for her company. Miyoko says it's important to, quote, have the courage to cross the aisle and talk to people who may seem like enemies, end quote. And, of course, she's referring to herself crossing over to an animal-based farmer. But it also refers to the animal farmer crossing over and looking at the plant-based industry. There is money to be made. Why would a vegan cheese company want to reach across the aisle to help the competition? Because far from any kind of vegan utopia, Miyoko lives in Nicasio, California, or Agland, as she calls it, and that's in Marin County. It's about 8 miles away from Novato. In 2015, she started an animal sanctuary in the area called Rancho Compasión, where about 70 rescued farmed animals now reside. Visiting the sanctuary, surrounded by ranches where animals are still raised for food, one realizes that Miyoko's ideals live on the ground, where she builds upon current infrastructure to transition toward what she believes is a more compassionate food system. Miyoko's kitchen is no different. The offices, R&D kitchen, and impressive production facility all sit right next to the corporate office for an animal dairy company. In the parking lot, the pungent smell of cows comes from nearby farms. As an ethical and political vegan, Miyoko believes that, quote, the dairy industry is ugly, end quote, forcibly separating calves from their mothers at birth and keeping cows in constant cycle of pregnancy and lactation for about 5 years, then selling them for hamburger meat once they're, quote, spent. Miyoko explains, quote, and I do speak out about it, but I don't want to call the people in the industry evil or bad. It's the practices. It's the industry that's evil. The fact is that people in the industry, such as the farmers in my neck of the woods in Marin County, a lot of them consider themselves to be good people. They're good Christians who are just feeding America, just doing what their ancestors have done. This is how people have eaten in the Western world for a long time. And so now their livelihood is being threatened. They believe by people in our sector, meaning the vegan sector. So now, rather than being the threat, I want to show them that we're the solution. I want to show them that this is coming from a place of compassion, end quote. Miyoko recalls one particular rancher from whom she rescued Angel, a former dairy cow, who is now a lifetime member of Miyoko's extended interspecies family at the Rancho Compasión Sanctuary. She said, I was speaking to this rancher, and he said, yeah, I just couldn't retire. I kept putting off retirement because I kept thinking, if I retire, how am I going to feed America, end quote. To him, he was feeding America. He was doing the good deed. There are a lot of people like that. There are, of course, more conniving ones that are bigger, but a lot of the smaller farmers selling their milk to the co-ops are just farmers trying to pay their bills and struggling. And so why not partner with them? Why not transform America that way? Why not tell that story to inspire Americans? That's how I look at revolutionizing things on a true scale, not just ignoring them and saying, well, that's how we're going to bulldoze over you and create a new economy that's based on plants. Screw you. That's not the approach Miyoko wants to take. She says, how can we actually revolutionize the entire dairy landscape? We can revolutionize by helping farmers transform their dairies into new enterprises, and then we're helping ourselves and we're helping them. We're helping the world. And that was from the first part of an interview with Miyoko Shinner titled, quote, The Dairy Revolution, Vegan CEO Working to Help Dairy Farmers, published on the foodtank.com website in January of this year. You're listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. Our final news story is a little news from the entertainment world. I know I dip into the entertainment world every now and then. I don't find it particularly satisfying. It's very faddish. It's very fleeting. But I do think that this particular story is rather significant. This Sunday, the 26th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards will serve a fully plant-based menu to its celebrity attendees. Quote, as part of the show's long-standing commitment to sustainable practices, the 26th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards will feature a plant-based menu at its ceremony on Sunday, January 19th, said SAG in a public release. On the menu will be a Romano bean salad, paella rice, and harissa glazed baby carrots, along with three selections of vegan-friendly alcoholic beverages. On January 5th, the Golden Globes became the first award ceremony of its kind to serve a fully plant-based menu, and the Critics' Choice Awards followed suit, serving a plant-based menu during its 25th annual ceremony on January 12th. That was last Sunday. Vegan actor Joaquin Phoenix, who is believed to be behind the push toward a plant-based menu at these award ceremonies, won awards at both shows for his role as Arthur Fleck in the movie Joker and praised the organizations for making a connection between climate change and animal agriculture. So that is the link in this trend. It is not necessarily out of compassion. It's not an ethical choice. It is looking at a sustainability issue. Let's see here. The vegan actor Joaquin Phoenix is also nominated for an Oscar at this year's Academy Awards, which has yet to announce whether it will serve a plant-based menu during its 92nd annual ceremony on February 9th. And that is from an article titled Best Actor Winner Joaquin Phoenix Praises Golden Globes for Taking Climate Action with Vegan Menu, posted online at vegnews.com on today. And just another update. That is all I have for news. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio. Now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events and other events about town. Get ready to mark your calendars. Before we do that, I just want to recap the organizations that you can contribute to and support in support of the bushfires going on in Australia. It's not hitting the headlines as much as it was last week and the week before, but there is still lots of work to be done and lots of ways that we can help. One group that we can support is WIRES Wildlife Rehab, New South Wales Wildlife Information Rescue and Education Service. WIRES is Australia's largest wildlife rescue organization. They've been rescuing and caring for wildlife for over 30 years, and their mission is to actively rehab and preserve Australian wildlife and inspire others to do the same. And you can find them at www.wires.org.au. Koalas in Care Wildlife Rescue and Rehab, also in New South Wales, can use your assistance as koalasincare.org.au. Port Macquarie Koala Hospital, also in New South Wales, and that is at koalahospital.org.au. All of those have donation pages. One other interesting group is the South Australian Veterinary Emergency Management Group. It is a Tier 2 response and recovery agency, similar to NAVDAG and our own California Veterinary Medical Reserve Corps. This group has been critical in helping wildlife on the South Australia's Kangaroo Island, which is a haven for rare wildlife. A third of that island has burned in bushfires. And you can find them at www.savem.org.au. And that is their acronym. It's SAVEM, South Australian Veterinary Emergency Management Group. Warriors for Wildlife is an organization helping rescue and treat wildlife in the state of Victoria, near Melbourne, in a different part of Australia. And their website is warriorsforwildlife.org. And that is warriors4wildlife.org. All right, on to the calendar. January 18th, this Saturday, faced with the growing cultural criticism of large-scale animal agriculture, corporations, manufacturers, and consumers alike are turning towards so-called humane methods of animal farming and seeking out alternative labels on their animal products. The group Triangle Chicken Advocates and Humane Hoax will be hosting the Humane Hoax Online Summit on January 18th. These falsehoods and myths, the humane hoax, are uncovered and explained in the second annual free online summit on January 18th from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. For more information and to register, go to www.upc-online.org. Also happening this Saturday, January 18th, is the Chico Women's March, Art, Healing, Resilience, and Resistance. They will be convening at 10 a.m. at the Chico City Plaza with the march beginning at 10:30. Yours truly will be holding one end of the KZFR banner in the Chico Women's March. And also I'll be at the booth afterwards. At 12 o'clock there will be a noon rally at the Chico City Plaza. And then from 1 till 2:30 we'll be tabling and various sharing circles, campfire survivor support and unhoused and homeless support and other groups. Come down and find your people. January 19th in Chico is the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That will be held between 2:30 and 4 p.m. at the Chico City Plaza. Will be a rally and march from 2:30 to 4 p.m. at the Chico City Plaza, followed by the Martin Luther King Jr. Inspirational Program from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Trinity United Methodist Church at 285 East 5th Street in Chico. And that will be an inspirational program accompanied by a free meal afterwards. Also, put on your calendar February 1st, Sactown Veg Fest. The 5th annual Sactown Veg Fest is being held on Saturday, February 1st, 2020, at the McClellan Conference Center in Sacramento. It promises to be a celebration of vegan, plant-based living, featuring vendors, cooking demos, and speakers, and is organized by the Sacramento Vegetarian Society, which is actually a vegan society. For more information and advance tickets, go to their website at sactownvegfest.org. As always, there's one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Our quote of the week is from the wonderful local journalist Natalie Hansen Ross, who wrote in today's Chico Enterprise Record about attitudes towards vegans. And she writes, "If a staunch meat eater looks at your snack of fresh veggies and doesn't have a good for you in them, there's no reason to value their opinion." And that was by Natalie Hansen Ross. It is a great article, and I encourage you to go check it out. It is part of a rather surprising and wonderful ongoing series in the Chico ER called North Valley Vegan. This particular article is called "Staying Vegan in Veganuary is Hard or Life-Changing." And she has other other articles in this series. I think she's up to about seven of them, talking about how to cook for yourself, how to dine out. She always has restaurant tips, and I just encourage you to check it out. She is a recurring columnist as well as a bona fide journalist reporting on all sorts of important issues in Butte County. Show notes and links to all those articles and all those Australian websites are mentioned in today's show are posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook and on Instagram at Chico Vegan, and also on the show page at kzfr.org. If you like this show, I encourage you to go to the kzfr.org website, and you can tip this show right from the homepage. And this has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff. We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, or otherwise abused, or burned up in a barn, or whatever. Our theme music is "Ready to Fall" by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. Thank you for listening. This is Jeannie Trezino signing off. If you're interested in being a kinder, more compassionate person in 2020, I encourage you to go to the 10weekstovegan.com website and get started. They offer a 10-week program by email with recipes and tips to help you transition to a more compassionate diet. And there's no time like the present. Thanks all. Have a good rest of the evening.